Can a woman forget her nursing infant that she might show no compassion for the child of her own womb? Yes, she indeed may forget, but I will not forget you. That's Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 of the Ward Green Version from 2003. That's our scripture for today, little children. And in our article today, we've got chapter 5, paragraph 9 of the Ark of Urartu article. The Orient Express is the subtitle of the article's name. It's about the fact that there was Noah's Ark and then China came about at some point along the way. In the post-flood era, Nimrod is described as a prominent builder of several cities, Genesis 10, verse 8 to 12. That's a quote from the Insight on the Scriptures, Volume 1, 1988, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania, page 158. Cain, the first son of Adam and Eve, is the first man mentioned in the Bible as the builder of a city, giving it the name of his son Enoch, and we talked about that before. It's the lighting in here is very unusual right now. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. That reference was Genesis 4 and 17, and Noah was the builder of an ark, the pattern of which was given to him by Jehovah. Refer to Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 and 14 for that particular reference. Nimrod, a mighty, quote, a mighty hunter in opposition to Jehovah, end quote, was the builder of several cities, namely Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, as well as Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ir, Calah, and Rezin. Reference Genesis chapter 10, verses 9 to 12. All of that was from the Insight on the Scriptures, 1988, Volume 1, Watchtower, Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania, page 372. According to Wikipedia, Yvecuus, or Yvecarus, as we've seen him called also, or as I believe I've seen him called, who has long been identified with Nimrod, has been more recently identified with Enmerkar, king of Unug, who built Unug, or Uruk. Enmerkar appears on the Sumerian king list as the son of Ameshki-Angesher, son of Utu, son of Iana, and dates before Gilgamesh, who is 2600 BCE, according to Wikipedia. In a legend, quoting from one prior version of Wikipedia's article, Enmerkar, related by Elian, circa 8200, in other words, 200 CE, or 200 of the Common Era, the king of Babylon, Yvecarus, there he is, or Suecarus, also appearing in many variants as Suecarus, earlier Sacarus, etc., is said to be the grandfather of Gilgamesh, who later becomes king of Babylon, i.e. Gilgamesh of Uruk. That was from Enmerkar Wikipedia, probably around the time of 2011 or so when I was writing this article. Enmerkar is dated as from Enmibaragisi, conqueror of Elam. Enmibaragisi of Kish is the earliest ruler on the Sumerian king list to be witnessed by independent record, as he has been attested by archaeology in alabaster vase Sherds, that were found in the very city Nippur, where he first built, according to the Tumal Chronicle, Sumerian tablet, 10 copies known, the temple of the god Enlil, and where in the same context his son Akka. That is, these things are according to the Tumal Chronicle, the temple of the god Enlil, and where in the same context his son Akka, or Aga, makes the Tumal splendid. In italics, the Tumal splendid. And Gilgamesh is also named. The old Elamite period was about 2700 from Wikipedia. The identification of Enmerkar as Nimrod agrees to a date. So, that's fascinating because the old Elamite period is the same period as Enmerkar, dated from Enmibaragizi, conqueror of Elam. It's fascinating that we can actually find a date that agrees with our chronology for Nimrod. But if you look at the modern day version of the Wikipedia article, it will tell you a little bit different from what the older version said. In April of 2011, it said this last name, Uvecuus, as it's called him, also appearing as Uvecius, and in many other variants, has long been identified with Nimrod. They said that long been identified, that's where I got it from. But the modern version, they've modified this. But the old Elamite period is still listed as 2700 right here. The conquest by Enmibaragesi is mentioned there. And this dates approximately, you know, to 2700. The time period of Nimrod, in other words. We've got the date because Enmerkar we've identified as Nimrod by various means. When I look at a modern, more recent version of the Enmerkar article on Wikipedia, it still has the note that Uvecuus, they didn't say a long time, but they say along with a number of other fictional and real Mesopotamian rulers, both real and fictional, have been identified. He has been identified, and they also, with the historically unattested biblical figure of Nimrod. But how can you say it's unattested if it's in the Bible? I don't know how they can say that's unattested, but anyway, they call that unattested because it's in the Bible, which is, they just mean it doesn't have independent confirmation, the name Nimrod, but it does in the book of Jasher, for example, right? So it is, they just don't, I don't think they're very well educated, actually. If they don't study the Bible and all the, and many of them don't, they're trying to avoid the Bible, it seems to me. And that's why they say things like that. They go on and talk about the identification as Nimrod in a separate paragraph there. Wow. Yeah, there's more information that's very interesting there. You might want to have someone look at that or look at that yourself. Let's see. I can't really blow it up any bigger without losing. Oops. It's fine. But that's it for today's study. The lighting in here, like I said, is very strange. I don't know what it's going to look like on the final image or video. I know the camera image is a little bigger. I tried to enlarge it a little bit. But I want to show you some things today. I'm really excited. This is amazing because these people are historical. In other words, Enmerkar is historical, and he's been identified as Nimrod. So, and Nimrod's in the Bible. So, because Enmerkar has been identified as with this person, Evecharus, and Evecharus has been identified by everybody as Nimrod. Like just about all the ancient historians, if you look at any of them, anyone who reads, they have to be Bible students because they have to get the name Nimrod from the Bible. So obviously, if they're not Bible students, they wouldn't even be interested in the name Nimrod, which appears to be what's happening with Wikipedia sometimes. Not with all the Wikipedia articles, but with some of them, they seem to be greatly intent on avoiding any validation of the Bible. That's what they seem to be interested in. More than almost anything. They can't acknowledge it because they realize once you acknowledge the Bible, everything changes in terms of what you believe and what you do. You know, I mean, the Bible changes people's lives, so they can't accept it without radically changing their own lives. But we see this amazing thing. We can get dates from the ancient time periods. And we got the date yesterday, 2751, for the year one of Enmerkar. And I noticed after we looked at that, that the 22-year lag, that the time period, the lag between Shinar and Egypt that Mr. Jackson mentioned, with him saying that Egypt was 22 years later when they began to rule in Egypt from the time of Shinar, he mentioned a 22-year lag. Well, 2251 minus 22, or 2751, I'm sorry. 2751 is the time we're talking about, BCE. 2751 minus 22 is 2729, and we talked about 2729 already as the beginning of Egypt. So, or as the beginning of something, we were just talking about that a few days ago. Let's look it up and see what we were saying again about 2729 here. I know we said something that was, to me, it lined up in my mind. That doesn't mean I'm right, though. Of the year 2729, yeah, that was the end. That was the beginning of Nimrod after the 43 years of the construction. You see, that's what we were saying at that time. We were saying, well, and if we added to that 14 years, we'd get 2743 for the, I don't know why we'd add 14 years to that, but I was just, that was the reign of Enmerkar. But no, but we said Enmerkar was actually 2751. But if 2729 was actually relating to Egypt instead, there it is, because it said the first Egyptian king in paragraph 5-6, that 2729 was for the first Egyptian king. So it does fit with the 22-year lag, because 22 plus 29 is 51, and 2751 we said was year one of Enmerkar. In at least one example, in one calculation that I did in the Wild Road article, and that seemed to be one of the most credible ways of doing it, was that 2751, even though it involved dividing the number of years of the kings by this number 29.530 5879, or whatever the average lunar month is, from the standpoint of the earthly observers. So, I mean, it's about 29 and a half. But we divided by that number because it was the only number that we could think of that would be remotely close, that was a constant in the Earth's, you know, in the earthly realm to do with astronomy. So anyway, let's come back to this here. What did we say? Oh, yeah, right here. The beginning of the first Egyptian dynasty was 2729, as determined by this 2324 that given by the old chronicle. And plus, we added to that the 62 years of, we said, for Menes, who was the first Egyptian king. But, yeah, there was that 62 years discrepancy. But if 2729 were, it fits perfectly with the 22-year lag. That was what I noticed yesterday. But that's enough. That's enough. We've done 16 minutes, but that's enough for today, I think, for the study. There's just so many things that are just begging to be discovered, I feel like, in these ancient time periods. But anyway, look, I ordered these things. I ordered 14 tools for leather working. I tried to order two or three, I forget how many, from Amazon. They were out. They canceled the order. I guess they were out of stock or something, but whatever. But it was a company in Ottawa that I tried to order from. But then I did a little research and I found out that the company they get these tools from Japan. I don't know how I found out. I just figured it out that they're getting them from Japan. Okay, and I figured that out somehow. Or if they're not getting them from Japan, there is a place in Japan anyway that makes these tools that are very similar. Maybe they're not the same exact tools as what they were providing. I don't know. But I wanted to get these. I don't know if I can show you these. Maybe I'll have to enlarge this so you can see better. Let's see if I can do that. Let's see. Transition. There we go. I don't know how dark or light this is going to be. Maybe it's too dark, or maybe it. Well, that's a mule's foot, I think it's called. That's one of the things they gave me. That came in a package with 11 other tools. These two pear shaders came in a package by themselves together. I'll just show you one of them because they're just the same, but one of them's a bit different size. But the thing is, I can't get them in focus. That's the problem, or it's difficult to see what they are. They have vertical lines on them. So they're shaped like a teardrop or something. And then they have these vertical. It's not going to focus at that distance, maybe. Or, yeah, maybe you can see those lines. Yeah, vertical lines on them. And this one has a vertical line. That's a very uncommon shader. But I got two of them. And then it was shipped in 5 days from Japan. That's the amazing thing that I thought was amazing. I ordered it last Wednesday, I think. I just checked it recently. It was. The other pair of shader that I got is this with horizontal lines on it. See, it's the same shape, roughly, pretty close, but it's got these horizontal lines. See that? And both of those were rather uncommon or hard to find. But for about, what did I pay for all that? Something like 50 something US dollars or something. But then there was shipping, and that was something like, you know, $20 or something, I don't know. But it's, you know, FedEx and from Japan. It came through the US and then came here. But can you, years ago, it would have taken 5 days to get something from Ottawa, you know, you know, to where I lived, which is 100 miles from Ottawa. It would have taken 5 days for the mail. Now we get things from Japan from FedEx in 5 days. And the thing is, they're selling these things for something like $5 each US or something. You know, it's ridiculous. I got 14 of them for something like $15. I mean, $50 total. 50. So 14 of them for $50, that's about $3 each or something. US, which is way cheaper than what I would have paid here. It was like $10 Canadian. But I had to pay shipping, but you average out the shipping over, you know, if I paid $70 or $80, whatever, or maybe $100 Canadian even, I don't know what I paid for 14 of them. That's still pretty good price, right? Let me show you. This is a veining tool. See that? It's called a veining tool. It's sort of a long crescent shape tool, a shallow crescent shape, but fairly large size. This is another pear-shaped shader with vertical lines on it, but it's much smaller dimensions, much smaller size, and it's more plump in its shape, it's bigger in the middle, you know, not as narrow. And then these are like little cedars. They're called cedars, which is just like a little round circle on the end of this I don't know if that's not focusing. What else can I get? Sorry. Oh, this is just another veiner. Yeah, slightly smaller. Veiners are for putting the veins on leaves, for example. If you're doing leather work, you want to put veins on the leaves. This is a beautiful thing. This is a shader. Shader without any lines on it. Just a smooth shader, but it's sort of triangular shaped. Very odd. Uh-oh. My screen wants to refresh. I'm going to have to say no for that for now. I'll activate it manually. My OLED screen wants to refresh. So, this is a very smooth, not a pear-shaped shader. It's a triangular shape. Very unusual shape. And I don't know why I ordered it, but the thing is, here's another pair. Because the thing is, they came in a package of 12. And the ones I ordered came in this package of 12, as well as the two others that I ordered. But if it came in a package of 12, how did I know I didn't order them as a package. So the fact they came pre-packaged, it looked like, as 12, I don't know. But it seemed like I chose exactly the 12 I needed to choose in order to get them pre-packaged, which doesn't make much sense. But this is a pear-shaped shader that's very small and no lines on it. These are just useful for doing shading. And then there's another cedar. It's just a very round, small circle with some lines around the outside, radial lines that will make a pattern. It'll look like a little circle with little radial bits around the outside, or, you know, radial lines about the outside. This is a flower center, I think, is it? Yeah. This is the center of a flower. That's what that is. You can use that for something else too, but, and then, this is just another mule's foot. These are used for creating, patterns on the, I'm trying to think what you use them for, or I'm trying to think what to describe, how to describe what they're used for. I know what they're used for. You go, it creates a series of, you make a series of marks on the plant, and that I don't know what it signifies though. It signifies where the plant is bending? No, I don't think so. What's this? Okay, this is another cedar. So I got several cedars of different sizes. This is a very tiny one. A cedar is just a little circle, so it will make it look like there's a bud on the plant or something. So those are all the things I got from Japan. I thought that was phenomenally impressive. Let me just see what I can do here. Let's go back so we're not using a huge amount. It'll be a huge video because it's got a lot of data if my face is so big on the screen. But all these leather working tools, and you know what else they sent me? Yeah, we're not done, but this is amazing. And I got this amazing email that I couldn't believe, but I'm not really looking to be, you know, a healthcare provider. I'm not really doing that. But the thing is, I was offered the idea. Look what they said. But I was offered to have patients referred to me, and I thought, well, that's very flattering, and I was immensely humbled by it. But I don't, for a number of reasons, think that that's something I can do. But I mean, it's just so far away from what my calling is, you know. But look at this. I mean, yeah. I'm flattered that somebody thinks that I could help their patients get healthier. I'm really flattered by that, because I've been, you know, fighting for a long time to sort of it's like raising my head up out of the mud or whatever of the world, where everybody is sort of in the dark. But okay, you know, with regard to healthcare, with regard to health, nobody really understands health. So it's been such a long struggle for me to even think that I could know anything. It's been a struggle. It's a very difficult topic. So it's quite flattering that anybody thinks that I might be qualified for anything. But this is very interesting. This is what they sent me. And they said it's a little green leather thing. And they said, they also sent a message: enjoy happy leathercraft life. That's a beautiful little message, isn't it? And then they sent this other thing, which is like a cloud or something, made of green leather. Beautiful. But they sent this little thing: enjoy happy leathercraft life. I don't know where it's... Yeah, I'm trying to get... Oh, it's just a little piece of paper. It doesn't... Or it's a sticker on the outside. It doesn't come off. Okay. Yeah. But isn't that something? It's just to be... Enjoy happy leathercraft life. That's what it says. So the people in Japan, I'm very impressed, and I think it really inspired me, I think, because having contact with some people in Japan is what it felt like I was doing when I ordered this, even though I just ordered it really quickly, because I knew that when someone cancels an order and then I don't do anything about it, I might never, ever get another order like that ever made. So I went... tried to find out where I could get these things, and the only place, once I realized that they were getting it from Japan, what they were selling on Amazon came from Japan, so I found a place in Japan that was selling this stuff. Leathercraft, it's called, something like that. Yeah, Leathercraft Tools. But in Japan, they have very high standards, and they have a very strong concept of what's called honor, right? Honor. And they work really hard. So because I was in contact with them, I was out today and I cleaned the side of my house, which had all this lichen on it. Before this arrived, this package, I had my house cleaned by my own scrubbing. and it took, I was up on a ladder and I came, you know, I scrubbed as much lichen off as I could reasonably do. It was a lot of work. I did a lot of work. And I also, I did something else. I don't even know if I can remember what it was or if I should be revealing all this stuff of a private nature. What else did I do today? I did something else. Oh, yeah, I winterized my car. That's what it was. See, I've been so busy, I can't remember. But, yeah, I winterized my car, which is, you know, spraying peppermint and putting a battery that's old, an old battery in the compartment, make sure that the mice can't get into the battery compartment. But also putting some downy fabric softener sheets in the car in different places, because that discourages these rodents. They hate the smell of, you know, fabric softener or something like that. It's a very good way to deter them, as well as peppermint or something. There's any kind of thing like that. But peppermint's really strong, so that's a good thing to deter them. So I'm getting a shadow, I guess, from the microphone. That's what it is, I think, that's causing the strange lighting here. But I'll work on that for tomorrow, I think, the lighting. But the big thing for me was this idea that maybe I could order a lot of things from Japan. They're good people to associate with because they made me realize all the work I could do today, and just suddenly I needed to do winterizing. I have to winterize my house. I've got to get ready with possibly insulate the windows. They would know this in Japan. They're very, very conscientious people. Like, they work really hard trying to save money as well as, you know, being productive, producing things. So yeah, it's it was eye-opening for me ordering something from Japan. You can't order food from Japan because it has to come through customs in Canada, and they don't allow food to come through customs in most cases anyway, because food can carry all kinds of parasites and things that can totally destroy the country. Like, they don't allow food generally, so you don't eat. I thought of that, and then I realized, no, there's no way, you know, there's no way you can do that, because we've tried to bring food even across the border between the U.S. and Canada, and that's a nightmare trying to do that. You don't do that. You just don't bring food across the border. So, but all these other things that I might be able to get in Japan that I could order and have them shipped, if it gets here in 5 days, and it's a little bit of a long wait to get it, I guess, but, you know, compared to Amazon overnight delivery, but might be a lot cheaper in some cases to order from Japan direct, and the benefits of association with hardworking people is another benefit. But it's October 29th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 14:26. I can't even see it. 14:26 hours North American Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. Once again, thank you so much for listening and watching, and I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now. That was Chapter 5, Paragraph 8. Was it? 7. No, 8. Yeah, 9. Chapter 5, Paragraph 9. Right, the Ark of Urartu. Yeah, we're getting there. Okay, just a little bit over time. Bye for now.